seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. We'll be taking your calls and questions. You can call us at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500 with your questions. Good morning, Ton. It's going to be a gorgeous day.
Good morning. And it will be. We've got great weather until next weekend at least.
Okay, couldn't you just talk about the great weather and forget the next weekend?
Well, great weather.
You know, weather for the next
When I was first married, I tried to talk my wife into moving to San Diego or South Florida because I just don't do winters really well, and she wouldn't hear of it. And the older I get and I see those San Diego 70s every day or the 70s in South Florida, and I know that there's other issues with both places, but during the winter, oh, it's tempting.
Yeah, it's tough for us to complain this year. We've had a really nice fall, so I'm not going to be complaining.
Gorgeous fall.
You know, I'd like the four seasons to be measured differently. Instead of in quarters for each season, I'd like 2% for winter, and the rest get the, you know, you can divvy up the rest. And then I'd be great.
Yes, if we could... Dave's token snowstorm around Christmas, then we can just get back to
that. Would be perfect for me. Well, then we wouldn't have enough water, though, would we? And we couldn't grow all the beautiful things we grow.
You know, one thing about this fall weather is that the gradual cooling and the temperatures in the 40s and 50s during the night and 70s during the day has allowed the fall foliage to develop like it never has before, or at least in a long time. And the sufficient moisture we've had has also helped. And so there are a lot of trees out there that have colored up more so than they ever would have in a regular fall.
Yeah, the colors along the benches have been phenomenal. We haven't seen that in years. So let's just enjoy them. This may be, however, the last weekend to really get out and enjoy those beautiful colors.
Yes, and I was in Elk Ridge City yesterday. We were looking at a city park trying to help with some water-wise decisions on their landscaping. Mm-hmm. And we were right up against the ridges there, and it was just spectacular. The maples and things, you know, the aspens and things that you could see from afar.
It's bright yellows, from the park. Bright reds, just so nice, so nice. This morning, one of the plants, bushes that are in bloom right now, burning bush. And I was noticing earlier that you put dwarf burning bush is what we're talking about. I'm like, dwarf? Mine can't be a dwarf, but you're saying what we actually plant here are dwarf burning bushes.
They are. And, you know, when people hear the term dwarf, they assume 2 to 3 feet.
That's what I definitely assume.
But it just means it stays smaller than the species. And so burning bush in the wild is a big bush or small tree that gets up to 20 feet. And dwarf burning bush stays unpruned down to 10 to 12. And when it's pruned, you can keep it at 5 or 6. And so it is a dwarf.
Okay. Burning bush this time of year, if the plant is healthy, is gorgeous. Just that
very
vibrant reddish purple color that you just don't find in many things this time of year.
You really don't. And it's really popular nationally because it is so easy to grow. And outside of the arid West, it's actually become a big problem. Because it's so easy to grow that it grows everywhere that they don't want it in forests and things. But in Utah, the reason I've used Conservation Garden Parks fact sheet is they mention that locally is fine, and it is, but it's relatively easy to grow. And the trick to burning bush, though, is that you have to keep up on its nutrition. And so that involves irrigating it at least every week to 10 days and then fertilizing it in mid-March to late March when the snow melts off with triple 16 and then doing that again about 2 months later. And as long as it has sufficient N, P, and K, it usually colors up really well. And when it starts to get nutrient deficient, it doesn't. And the other problem with the burning bush is that when it doesn't get enough nutrition, you'll have a hedge line 10 or 15 years old, and all of a sudden, within 3 or 4 weeks, 2 or 3 of those shrubs can just up and die. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep up on the nutrition, they don't seem to do that.
Right. I'm not sure if it was a mistake or not. I needed to really cut back the burning bush. There's probably 3 or 4 lining my driveway, but they're kind of taking over my rose bed. And I'm like, no, you're crowding out the roses. So I cut them back, maybe a little too extremely. So now the one side's looking a little sad.
Well, over time, if you don't trim them again, or at least give them 3 or 4 years, they will fill in. I used to do, when I was a starving college student, one of my side gigs was doing a home show, or not home show, but model home maintenance for a large home builder here. And they always wanted their landscapes cleaned up in the fall instead of the spring. And, you know, horticulturally, you know, this might not be the best idea, but I need the money. And so we did a lot of pruning in the fall, and burning bush was one of the primary shrubs that they used on their model homes. And we would trim those like just unbelievably in the fall. And you would think,
they're so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh. And you would think, no. My goodness, we're just butchering this thing. But the next spring, they would just leaf out. And by the next fall, we were giving them haircuts again. And so burning bush, when they're healthy, are unbelievably adaptable.
So what kind of conditions do they like?
Full sun, or at least 6 hours of sun a day. So, you know, when they're on an east or a north exposure, they don't seem to color up well. And then just make sure that they get watered periodically. They get the fertilizer treatments. The one thing you need to watch out for, well, there's a few things. There is a euonymus scale, which is an insect that glues itself to the branches, that you need to watch for. And then they're susceptible sometimes to spider mites when they're not watered well. And so those two pests, both of those, if you keep an eye on things, can be controlled easily with horticultural soap, which is a reduced risk method of controlling them. But burning bush, 70 to 80% of the time, are really low maintenance as long as you do the few basic things.
Are they considered water-wise?
Moderately. I mean, they're going to use far less water than having turf. And especially with 2 to 3 inches of bark mulch around their root system. So out about as far as the bushes grow under the canopy. And you could water them to a depth of 1 foot to 18 inches every 2 weeks, and they would be fine.
Okay. Any special soil conditions?
No. They're, as long as it's not super salty or super clay soil. If you live near the lakes or in the bottom of the valley where you have kind of clay, saltier soil, mm-hmm. those are about the only situations that they might struggle.
Okay. And you can find out more about the dwarf burning bush on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Ton has put up an article. Ton and Michelle have put up an article there for you. We're going to come back with your calls and questions. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. You can call us at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Ton, our first listener wanted to kind of chime in on the burning bush, and they'd like to know why theirs just isn't getting the color that maybe it should.
I would look at the nutrition like we talked about. Fertilize them in the spring, not now. But sometime in late March, get some, just a bag of 16-16-16 or 16-16-8. And if they're mature, put a third of a cup under each, you know, spread out under the canopies, and do that again in, you know, sometime in late April to late May. And that should help. You know, if they're in the shade, that also will keep them from coloring up. And then drought stress would. So it's just one of those things that the burning bush, fortunately or unfortunately, I won't call them princess shrubs, but they it's not that the maintenance is even hard, but they have regular maintenance that has to be paid attention to.
All right. And again, the plant of the week was the dwarf burning bush, and you can see more about that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Robert is our first caller. He's in Heber Valley. Good morning, Robert. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. I was just wondering for you know, shrubs, perennials, whatever, is it better to transplant this time of year or better to wait till like late winter, early spring?
It's still too warm. Once things go dormant, the leaves drop or the perennials are frozen back or go dormant, you can do that this fall. But if we've just been in the 70s and things are barely starting to shut down, at least along the Wasatch Front, and so even in Heber, I would give it another week to 2 weeks before I really started to move things around. Or if they've gone dormant, you can move them.
Okay, thank you. Just one more question. I know we don't prune any trees in the fall. Does that go the same for the, you know, the suckers that come up at the base of the trunk? Do we wait till, you know, late winter to do those also?
At this point, they're not harming anything unless they're a nuisance. I would wait until late winter. But when those start to pop up in the summer, you can cut those back every 3 or 4 weeks as they do come up.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, Robert, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they're helping a family member with trees for their one-acre lot, and they want to get a sensation box elder and a paper bark maple. They want to know if you think that those are good choices because they want to have something that has great fall color.
Well, the sensation box elder is a box elder tree, and they're not as long-lived as other trees. You'll get 50 to 70 years out of one. But they're also seedless, and so they don't attract box elder bugs in. And they have a pretty good fall color. And so sensation box elder is one that I will recommend if they have wet soil and the other options are cottonwoods or willows. Or if the soil is slightly salty, the sensation box elder will work in that situation. You know, they are not going to be the quality of a good maple or a good oak. But sensation box elder is still, in my opinion, a better choice than cottonwood or the willows, especially if you need something that's relatively fast growing.
Would you have another recommendation other than that one?
Oh, I think the tree's okay. They just need to be aware of some of its limitations. Another one they could look at, depending on the situation, would be common hackberry if they have a soil that isn't friendly to some trees. But if they were just looking for general trees, there are many of them out there. But for faster growth and what the tree brings, I think sensation box elder is the best of the choices for faster growth.
What about the paper bark maple?
It's fine. It's going to be very slow growing. It'll take a little longer to get established, but they're beautiful trees. They have good fall color, max out about 20 to 25 feet high and wide, but that will be 30 to 40 years down the road. They're as slow as a Japanese maple. Paper bark maples are adapted to our soil, and it's just something that you, if you buy a small one, you may be waiting 10 or 15 years for it to really come into its own.
All right. Wayne is on the line in Sandy. Good morning, Wayne. What was your question?
Good morning. I'm actually calling with a question for my daughter who lives in Weezer, Idaho. They have a great garden, and they have ever-bearing raspberries. This fall, when they were picking the fall crop, she put them in the sink or whatever she did to wash them. Little yellow worms started coming out of them. And I told her, too bad, you just get some protein in your jam now. But that might not have been a good answer. But could you tell me what that might have been and a treatment that they could use to alleviate it?
Well, we don't have that really commonly down here, and the only thing I could really recommend, sort of, is maybe a horticultural soap, because you don't want to be spraying that fruit with anything that you can't harvest. And I think the soaps usually have a 2 to 3 day wait, and so she would need to use something like that when there's no pollinators around, and it's just a really hard one because you don't want to be spraying when you have blossoms or fruit.
Uh-huh.
And if they're getting in there and feeding in the fruit itself, it could be that they waited a little long. And so when those are in tight bud, it may be you go out in an evening and just try a horticultural soap maybe every 3 days for a couple of weeks to see if that helps.
Like in the fall then?
Well, just before if they were in late summer and fall this year, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Wayne, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, what is the USU email that they can send photos and questions for diagnosis and help?
It depends on the county. And so Utah County has one, but I am not giving that out for others. Just
what?
Because I don't know. I've got a budget to pay a horticulturist that's funded partially by Utah County.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already overwhelmed. And if we start getting a lot of emails from other counties into ours, I don't want to overwhelm Meredith anymore.
Okay, so you need...
So they need to contact the county that they live in to get that line. So they could call USU Extension on Monday and find out where to email pictures.
Okay, but if they are in Utah County...
Then gardenhelp@usu.edu.
Okay, perfect. My next question would be, we are looking at the temperatures. They're nearly 80 degrees today, and then dropping next week quite significantly back to more normal fall temperatures. So I still have 3 or 4 tomato plants out there. Are my tomatoes going to ripen up? I have tons of green tomatoes. What should I do with these?
If there's any hint of red or yellow on those tomatoes, they're not going to ripen in the next 5 days. So I would pull them off the vine and get a box and just put them layered in a box and get some newspaper or paper towels or something between the layers and just keep stacking the green tomatoes. Put them in a food room at around 55 degrees if you have one, or just somewhere you can store them in the dark. And then as you need tomatoes, they will hold in that box for several weeks, you know, past Christmas easily.
Right.
And you can just bring out 3 or 4 and put them somewhere at 70 or 75 degrees and let them ripen and use them.
Yeah. I've done this for years, but my question was, this is the time probably to pull them out.
It is. You know, if you have some near ripe, then you could leave them on. But, you know, I tried covering my tomatoes this year mm-hmm. with some plastic sheeting, and I just haven't had a lot of success with it this year. You could. Otherwise, maybe I should have covered them earlier. But in the next 3 or 4 days, I would go out and collect all the tomatoes that are sized up and just put them in the box.
Okay, so what about the pumpkins that are still pretty green, have some orange?
They
what
will
we do
get
with those?
Orange.
Okay.
And so
what
if they
I
have
those?
Any orange, what I would do is just clip them so you have 5 or 6 inches of stem on them
mm-hmm.
and put them somewhere where it's in the 70s, you know, between 50 and 70, and just let them sit and they will ripen on their own.
Okay. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 575-00 and we'll be back following the news.